All right, thanks, everyone. If I can have your attention, please. Sit down, Tom. Yeah. Thank you. All right, let's just go through the roll. Tom?
Yeah.
Here, Mr. Ting.
Yes, Mr. Ting here.
Yes, my goodness, sir. You are on the set of The Solve Guys, the world premiere podcast in which we solve real-life problems with unconventional solutions because we're speed cubers. None of this attitude, all right? Oh, my goodness. Tom, what would life have been like for you if I was your teacher?
Oh, I don't even know. And I'm glad that possible universe never existed.
It would have been great.
And that I was able to get through school with great teachers, kind and caring ones.
Yeah. Okay. Look, I mean, I'm not a teacher anymore, so maybe that says everything that you need to know. Welcome back. If you've heard us before, otherwise, welcome for the first time. We're the Solve Guys. We solve Rubik's Cubes. This is Tom and I'm Ming. And we are going to solve a very relevant problem today for all students.
Yep.
But even if you're not a student, it's something which you might still have to do from time to time.
Maybe teachers as well.
That's right.
We're talking directly to you today.
And it's the problem of
exams.
That's right. Is there something better than a test again? It's like
sitting in another one in this silent, this tension-filled room for an hour, for 2 hours.
There has to be a better way to do it, surely.
Hand cramping, you know.
I know.
Brain cramps.
Here's an exam question for you, Tom. What's the most frequent letter that pops up in the English alphabet, in, you know, normal English language? Is it A, B? Is it B, C? Is it C, D?
I've seen this.
Or is it D, E? What's your answer?
I'm on the hot seat. Can I phone a friend?
No, you can't.
It's like the four options.
Which one? Which one is it?
A, B.
So I don't know. He thinks B is the most common. Yeah. So that's the thing, right? Like exams, not only are they sometimes like, I could do so much better than that. Like, you know, that's not what I deserve. But sometimes they just have flawed questions.
What about when it's like something like, comes
up? It's not even
up.
My fault.
Yeah. And you're like, we didn't even study that. You're like, why is that on the exam? Yeah. This is.
I know.
We never looked at that.
Or times when like the teacher's clearly like teaching to the test. And it's like, this isn't fair too. Like you're essentially helping us cheat. And even if I get a better result, it's like, you stacked it.
You see the question and you're I've done that exact question. You kind of feel bad.
It's dodgy. It's so dodgy. Is there something better than exams to assess how well a student is performing? Is there something better? We think the answers.
Probably yes.
Probably yes. And we're going to bring that solution to you today.
Today we decided, you know, we thought about this long and hard. Who could we bring on?
Mm-hmm.
Who is the exam master, you know?
Oh, my goodness.
We need like a proper solve guy this week, not just any of these randos, these Felix Zem dogs or whoever's been like coming on.
Yeah.
We needed some serious talent today.
And we brought muscle. So stay tuned. It's going to be incredible. So the timer has start, pens up. You can flip your exam over because the time has start. You've got 2 hours and let's get into it. So there was an apple on the desk, Tom, to, you know, bribe the teacher, and you're eating it.
It was just a prop.
Yeah, it's not even a real apple. It's from IKEA. It's got like styrofoam on the inside. Man, we have so many problems to solve with, Tom. But with you guys, the listeners, we're going to solve the problem of exams. Who do we have as our guest today, Tom? As he just drinks out of the Solve Guys mug. We spared no expense today.
No, this is for sale on Etsy. No, I don't know.
Introduce our guest.
We have a world record holding.
Literally.
Yeah. Very, I think, intelligent student.
Yeah, he actually is.
A big name in cubing.
Mm, yep.
A big Solve Guys fan, we found.
Yeah, that's the coolest thing. He's like watched, I think like binged like season one. Pretty great.
Which is like very rare. No, I've never heard of anyone.
I mean, I
watching the show.
I wouldn't even do that. I mean, there's only so much of your voice that I can take.
Exactly.
Yeah. But we have
Max.
Woo! What's up, guys?
Hi, Max. How are you?
I'm good.
Where are you joining us from?
I'm joining you guys from Seattle in the United States.
Oh, yes.
Which is the location of Worlds 2025.
True. Yeah, it is.
And also my hometown.
Woo, your hometown.
Happens to be my hometown. Exactly.
Dude, that's so cool.
when they announced the location in Korea at Worlds 2023,
yeah.
I literally all I could do for the next like 30 minutes was scream, I live there. It was great.
I had no idea. Wow. Do you have a guest room or anything by any chance? Am I asking you live like this and you say
you
yes.
got a spot there. Ming. Okay. I
have thousands of people who just witnessed that I can just
I'll answer that later.
Place. Yeah. Okay. That's great.
How is it there? Rainy?
Usually it's very rainy. Recently, we've been having pretty good weather, though. Like, yesterday was beautiful. It was so sunny. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we will go to Worlds then.
Right.
Yeah, okay. If Max will be there. I guess
although I've heard it's often quite sleepless in Seattle.
Sleepless.
Thanks, guys.
It's you.
It's me.
I'm a big fan of the Seattle grunge scene.
Oh, yeah?
All the best rock bands in the 90s.
Yep.
Yeah. Max, what's your experience with exams? Why don't you fill us in? What do you think?
Well, I'm a high school student, mm-hmm. Finishing high school this year, actually. So I've taken a lot of exams over the past several years of my academic journey. I would say they're just not the most effective way to assess students. And especially they're just like, they don't really help students learn, you know, because I think the entire idea behind an exam is like you sit down for like an hour or two and you just like rattle off everything you know onto a piece of paper. And that kind of means that like, at least for me, you kind of just cram a bunch of information like the night or two before the test. Yeah. So because you're cramming so much information in a short period of time, you just don't retain any of it,
yeah.
You know? And so in my experience, like I took linear algebra last semester and we had our final exam just this past January. If I took that exam today, I don't think I would pass, like I would fail.
Yeah.
Since then, all of the information has just gone over my head and it's not great.
And then it's like, what was the point of the exam, right? Like, surely it's got to be more than just like give you a random number that's like, okay, now you can use this number to apply for something else. Or like, if you didn't actually gain things from it, I was so much like that and probably worse. So I did schooling in Singapore and we had like the Cambridge education system. So I remember doing the O-levels, if anyone knows what that is. We got tested on 2 years worth of content. I remember cramming so hard for that. And I did okay. But the fact that within months, my brain basically deleted everything that I learned. I just basically like figured out how to, I had all these like past papers, which I did. I figured out exactly what the marker wanted to see, but it wasn't stuff that actually stayed in my brain. And it's like, then what was the point of education for me?
I just got a number. Over.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like when you became a teacher, did they sit you down and be like, yeah. do an exam, yeah. show me how good you are at exams. It's like, yeah. it's not really... a That's real right. world skill
yeah.
to be able to sit down for an hour and write a bunch of short-term memory crammed in for yeah. either, right?
That's
so
right.
That's really well put, Max. I've haven't heard anyone say it like that particularly, but that's really true that like
yeah.
you just forget it.
Was that, like, was it the case for you as well?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, look, you're more than just a pretty face. You aced like every exam, right?
I did all right.
I
yeah.
know, you I, did I, well. You're a humble guy.
I didn't enjoy
you
exams.
Did well.
Yeah, I think like... my math exam like scaled upwards a bit, so yep. I was able to like
yeah.
get decent marks in those. But like I much prefer assignments. I'm an assignment
yeah,
person,
okay.
so I'm gonna be writing hard, you know, yep. against exams always. So yep. this is a perfect episode for
yeah.
sounds like all of us.
Yeah, I also want to say that I think that exams have a built-in like disadvantage to a lot of people. So you know, students with any sort of like educational challenge or disability. I mean, there's a built-in disadvantage, I think, to people who have dyslexia, you know, difficulty with yep. reading. People who have dysgraphia, which is like the opposite, a difficulty with like a written expression. And it's like, ultimately, the exam has to be like written or typed in some way. And so just by its very nature, it's just already that much harder for people with those disadvantages that they didn't choose. And it's like, they might actually know all that they need to know and more, but it just wasn't able to come out. Because of the nature of the exam.
Not to mention just the stress. Like,
yeah.
Max would know like how stressful everything is at high school. Like, you have all this like pressure weighing down on you to like the end of the year is coming. Your mm-hmm. ATAR, your whatever, your O levels, this score that you're kind of like consciously or subconsciously basing like your self-worth as a student on what you're going to get, right? And it's like, then when that hour comes, like, if you're not like mentally prepped to deal with that stress, like that's
if you bomb on that day,
exactly right.
It's like, that's your future.
It's really shocks me like how for my ATAR, like if you're doing a science subject, 50% of your entire raw data, your raw marks is from that last exam.
That one exam.
And you've had like 2 years of prep. You've done like, you know, whatever, four exams, four assignment pieces leading up. But it's like 50% of everything is from an hour and a half to 3 hours, you know. It's nuts.
And I think where a lot of that stress comes from is this idea that, like, especially like final exams, it's like an entire year's worth of content all boils down to like 1 or 2 hours.
That's right.
And it's pretty much your entire grade is going to go, it's boiling down to that 1 hour.
Yeah.
And so it's so much stress concentrated on like one super short period of time. Yeah. It's just not good for students' mental health. And yeah, there can be a lot to be done.
And you have good days and you have bad days. And exactly. What if that was a bad day? And it's just not fair. Like that someone else had a good day. It's just, it's where it is. And I mean, okay, I come to this a bit as a teacher too. And I want to admit, confess that a lot of teachers, I don't think always know what they're doing when they write exams. I think a good exam can eventually take shape after like several iterations, like it can evolve. And if you get enough feedback with like, I don't know about this exam question, and you ask your colleague, or you actually test it out on a batch of students first. And then you find out, oh yeah, that was good. But like a lot of exams aren't like that. You just like write what you can, you give it to the students. And if the question was unfair, it's like too bad for you. Like if you didn't understand it. I mean, one classic example is like, you could have like a maths question that requires some knowledge of like sports, for example.
Yeah.
And because, you know, the question has to be about something. And so if you just happen to not know very much about that sport, automatically you're at a disadvantage. But it's about maths. Yeah. It's like nothing to do with that sport. But like, you know, and this especially happens, I found, for people who maybe didn't grow up in that same location. There's just that immediate like cultural language like barrier. There's something that the teacher might just assume everyone knows this. Everyone knows that, I don't know, you're playing cricket, like hitting a six means, I mean, that's something which I didn't know when I came to Australia. Like, oh, hitting a home run or whatever. It's like, what if you don't know what that means? And then you're spending all this time in the exam like, oh no.
I don't. I'm an American. I have no idea how cricket works. So.
right? And even if the question was purely about math, just that concept could throw you off.
Yeah, absolutely. Or like, you know, right? About something about Christmas or something. It's like, what if you came from a country where you never celebrated Christmas?
Yeah.
It's like, that's not fair. And it's just like built-in bias in a lot of exam questions. And so exams just naturally just have issues with them.
Even here in Queensland, where we have like a whole QCAA, you know, that's like getting all the whole state.
Yeah, doing like the same information, right,
and trying to improve these exams every year. Yep. You hear that like, oh yeah, last one was too easy. This year's is going to be too hard. You know, like how can they get that so wrong every year, where like they make it too easy, then too hard. And it's like, you either do really well, and then if you've done really well, but it was because your exam was too easy, you get scaled down and less points than.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like unfair on the students in that capacity as well.
Well, we're going to fix that today. And we should check in really quick with SolveBot 3000, who's listening in and going to summarize, going to, you know, put her pen to the paper and decide who gave the best solution today. So let's see what SolveBot has to say.
Hey, Solve guys, and welcome to the show, Max. I must say, there are a lot of fast cubers called Max. I assume your name is short for maximum speed. Ha ha. See, who said artificially intelligence doesn't have a sense of humor? I'm looking forward to using the full power of the GPT-4 AI engine to decide who gave the best solution today. Hopefully after this, we will be rid of humans, exams, once and for all. Good luck to you all.
There's something weird going on there.
It's a little Freudian slip there.
At the start of this season, I was like, AI maybe can coexist with humans peacefully, but I'm feeling that less and less.
Every episode, she's like got some grudge against us. I don't know what's
up. Turns out she's a fan of Maxiel, though. So, I mean, that's pretty cool. Turns out SolveBot is your fan. Well done.
I'm flattered. I'm so flattered.
Our first solution today is going to come from our very special guest, Max. So take it away.
Woo!
So my solution is pretty broad. It's pretty straightforward, but I think it gets the job done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, instead of pen and paper exams, it's to do project-based assessments.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the idea here is that you're giving students a lot of freedom. So I you know, an example is like teachers where they would give like very bare bones, broad set of guidelines as to like what they want to see from their students, like what content they want covered.
Yep.
And then it's just up to the students to figure out how they want to present the information. So yeah, that's a starting point.
Oh, wow.
I can give an example.
Yeah, that's cool.
From my own studies.
I like that. So you start with some sort of framework. It's not completely open-ended. The teacher says, this is what we're looking for. Is that right? Like, this is the criteria. Mm-hmm. But then now
the teacher is giving the what.
Yeah, the what. But then what?
Not the how. Everyone gets to choose their
and
own.
And the students do that? The how? Yeah, them, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like, the students can figure out the how. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so what examples?
An example from,
sure.
Yeah, yeah. So this year I'm taking neurochemistry as my science elective, which is a really cool class. It's learning all about like the human brain and like the chemistry and the molecular science behind that.
The human brain, that's something that's in your head, Tom? That's usually in your head, yeah.
Neurochemistry.
Sorry.
Okay, I'm following.
I just need to explain something to Tom. It's fine. It's keep going. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. No worries. Yeah, yeah. He's got to catch up. All right. just recently we had a whole unit about sensation. So our project-based assessment was to pick one of the five senses of the human or, you know, another sense like echolocation, which, you know, like dolphins or bats. And then pretty much to explain the entire pathway from like, for example, like sound coming in through your ears all the way to being processed in your brain. What is that entire pathway like? And it's up to us to figure out how we want to represent it and like articulate it for like a broader audience, right? So yeah, and we had a lot of freedom as to how we wanted to do that. Like I had classmates who did like podcasts, video essays, like presentations with like interactive activities.
Yeah.
I even had a classmate who did like a picture book, like a children's storybook.
Oh, wow.
That's so cool.
That's so cool.
And it was inspired by the Magic School Bus. Do you guys know that TV show?
Yeah,
Magic School Bus?
You might get baked into a pie.
Okay. I thought it was just an American thing.
Oh, well, I mean, it is an American thing, but it's a pretty successful export.
We have cartoons.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know what the Magic School Bus is, it's like a TV show where it's a class that has a school bus that can like turn really, really small. And then from there, you can like go inside somebody's nose and then learn about olfaction or something like that.
Which is like the perfect choice for that sort of project. Yeah.
But it's just like creative storytelling, basically, to teach a scientific concept or something.
I wish I could have done that.
Yeah.
I feel like that works so well for a lot of subjects as well. Like all your English assessments, like where you have presentations. That was the worst because like I would have loved to do a video essay.
Yeah.
But like you weren't allowed, like it had to be because part of the mark is like your body language or like your delivery.
Yeah.
And like they're so close-minded and in the only way that you can be marked on your delivery is like them watching you speak it as if you're a keynote speaker, but it's like that's not for everyone.
Yeah.
And some people are going to make really compelling video essays where they, you know, they're communicating and showing their delivery through their voice, but it's just like not a possibility because of our current system. Yeah,
I'm not sure if it's closed-minded as much as it is. Maybe actually scared because it's like it doesn't feel like an apples to apples comparison. And so if like, you know, kid A does like a recorded presentation where they're speaking to the camera and then kid B does a kid's storybook, it's like that's cool. How do I justify that this person gets, you know, an A minus and this person gets a B minus? Because it's like, you just did a story, but it's like when the parent comes and like, I actually wonder if fear, it like underlies a lot of this stuff. Why teachers, why the education system, they aren't brave enough to actually do like these out there big, like creative ways because they have to justify the numbers and the marks that they give at the end of the day. I'm curious to know what you did, Max. What was it? I don't know, an interpretive dance or something?
Nothing too fancy, but I did like this sort of like multimedia pamphlet. So it was like a trifold brochure pamphlet. And I did sound. So I talked all about like sound going through your ears and all of the like receptor cells and everything that activated when sound travels through them.
Yeah.
But I also included like some QR codes, which had links to like separate like little like, video clips that I made to like explain how sound works or like how cochlear implants sound like. Just as a way of like incorporating hearing itself into my presentation about hearing, kind of like being more creative that way. So it's a lot of fun because it takes off the stress of like all of your assessment goes into a 1-hour time period because it's like a project that you have several class periods to work on.
Yeah.
And it's just more fun, you know, because it's more engaging. I get to kind of exercise some creativity. And overall, it's just a much more engaging and compelling experience for the student and for the teacher. So
yeah, there's no doubt if people are enjoying what they're doing, they're going to retain it better, right? Yeah.
But fun for the teacher and for the class as well, right? Because it means they get to benefit from it. Like, I mean, I'm guessing like the class gets to like see each other's things as well.
Exactly. Yep.
So there's interactivity there. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Learning off each other. Yeah. I was hoping that you were going to say that you finished with like a 50 cube multi-blind into like a mosaic of like the anatomy of the ear or something. We actually
Given me that idea. I might have done it.
Yeah, you should have. Max is so humble. I feel like, I don't know if people appreciate just like what an incredible cuber he is. He is so good at like almost every single event. He just like casually gets a world record in square one. He's like, you know what? I'm just going to become like world class at blind now. You know, let's just do that. And then, you know what? Let's just like.
Yeah, three styles are easy.
It's easy. Where do you find the time for this, Max? It's because of all your creativity. That's why.
Thanks, guys.
Now you're a solve guy. That was a good solution.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, really good.
I can't really fault it. I think that's like you said, the marking thing could be difficult, but I don't think.
That's a them problem.
I don't think it's as a valid excuse because you have art classes where like, I did art and
it's
marked in that way almost exactly, right? We have a rubric that you have to like adhere to, but in any way you want.
Yep.
And they seem to be able to mark it fairly, you know, even with subjectivity.
Exactly.
And different media. So
yep.
I think if you take that kind of approach to more.
Yeah. The way that my teacher's rubric worked was it was just like, did you cover this? So it was pretty objective in that way. It's like, it doesn't matter how you presented it. You could have done a children's storybook. You could have done a video essay. As long as you covered these specific topics, then I'll give you the credit for those. So I think it's definitely harder than having the same assignment for everybody, but it's still possible to assess that. So,
dude. Yeah. Max Yao, does this episode need to go any further? Like we've got the winning solution right there.
Let's just call and solve what ended just here.
No. We've got two more to go.
True.
He's a good guy, but I'm sorry, you are facing some fierce competition today because we've got some
experienced, seasoned solvers. Right. Not really.
Watch out.
Consider my timbers shivered.
Not really. Class, listen up. Let's reconvene. After recess, we're back from recess.
Wow, this is Tom as a teacher. I'm not liking what I'm seeing.
I would be a terrible teacher. I would get so fed up with the students.
Yeah, probably just walk out on them right away.
I'd probably be patient. Yeah. I'd probably be a great teacher.
You'd be a good teacher, Tom. I wouldn't mind having you as my, you know, substitute teacher maybe for like one day.
I'd be a great substitute and we'd like put on like, I don't know.
Magic School Bus.
Yeah, we put on the Magic School Bus. We'd watch Shawshank Redemption as a class.
Hey guys, we're just going to watch Mythbusters for the next 2 hours. Like, that's all we're doing today. But you've got a solution for us, don't you, Tom?
Yeah, now that I'm yapping on, let me talk about my solution to exams.
Please do that.
So because we have three solutions here, I love Max's already. I know yours is going to be good. I had to go for a little bit of a devil's advocate not really that term per se, but a different angle. And I'm going to say a solution if we can't get rid of exams in the near future, you know, what's like a stepping stone, a halfway point that might be more easily implementable for schools to reduce the pressure and reduce the negative impact of exams.
And it's to allow cheating.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
How did you know?
Well, I don't know.
It's that everyone looks at each other's paper. No. Okay. But seriously, I want to make exams less intimidating and stressful. I remember doing exams like you said, there's so much pressure building up on it that like you can psych yourself out. And if you're not having a great day, if you don't get a good sleep, like it's not always a fair representation. Like it's not fair to begin with, but then it's like you can do the same exam like on two different days and probably get totally different results, right?
Absolutely. I think that measure's called like reliability. It's like the reliability of an exam. If the same instrument can like cause such variance in results with every time you sit it, there's something wrong with home like method.
I have a couple of ways that I think we can reduce the pressure of these so that, you know, they can maybe be slightly fairer, right? The first thing though is that I think they should count towards less of the mark, right? If we have to keep exams in, I think those project-based things should become come more at the forefront of your mark, right? And be the bigger, more collaborative, more important projects. Because like all the examples that Max gave, they're like real-world skills and like things that like if you've made like such a great brochure like that, like that's an awesome thing to like have in your like just portfolio of like what you've done, what you can do, right? Like especially with something like neurochemistry. So I think they should count towards less, right? Like we have final exams that are making up 50% even more of entire marks. Like,
so just reduce the weightage of each
I think
exam,
so. Yeah. I think so. I had my Japanese class, for example, was like that, where we had four assessment pieces, each worth 25%.
Yep.
I did fine on the exam. I did great on the other ones. And I ended up with like a great mark because of that. Yep. And I feel like to me, each of those felt equal in difficulty, felt like they should have been like that and was fair like that. So I just think, I'm with you guys. I don't think your entire academia should be so heavily based on one thing. So that's my first point, is that we should reduce them to it at the very least, just a equal part of your mark, right?
Yep.
The second thing is, I think just making exams more familiar and less intimidating, right? Mm-hmm. Like I know for my final exams, like you have a mock exam, right? Like you have a practice exam.
Yes. Yep.
Hopefully more than once. Sometimes only once though.
Yeah, true. Sometimes only one.
I feel like the school system in Queensland is getting a bit better to where like our whole first senior year is like kind of a mirror of the final one,
like a
right?
practice for the
so
second.
So I do think that they're doing pretty good with that, where like when I got to my final exams, I was like, oh, okay, I've kind of done this before. Not to say that like there was definitely things that they changed, and that's the nature of exams. Like if you agreed with the philosophy of it, it's that it should be kind of like, you know, unpredictable, because that's the situation trying to be put in, whether you agree with that or not. But one thing I really liked about my Japanese, my math class, is like doing like smaller, more frequent pop-up exams that are shorter, that are less pressure and like no consequences. I feel like that just like gets, especially for students that like aren't exam-minded to begin with, like it can help, you know, normalize or like make them more comfortable with that sort of exam experience, right? So like whether it's like breaking down the practice exam into like smaller segments and just doing like one or two questions at the beginning of every class. I've done stuff like that. And I feel like just making it, you know, no consequences, having like a collaborative like discussion about it afterwards, going through it in just like a more relaxed thing compared to like the worst thing is like when you have a class and you just like, you're just studying and studying, like, you know, doing textbook work every lesson, then you're doing revision, and then it's like suddenly you're just like hit with an exam, and it's like, oh, I'm not used to this, because like you've been in this study mode. And you know, like obviously the students that really care about the exams will make their own practice ones, right? Will like be conscientious in that, to take the initiative to do that, but I just think
even that's a bit artificial.
I feel like it just needs to be like a more casual thing. And if we can bring the percentage down and then just like get more comfortable in the environment, then on the exam day, you're going to be like, oh, okay. It's like, you're not totally just thrown into this new environment. Then you can be more comfortable with it.
Yeah, cool.
So yeah, it's like a pretty simple and generic thing, but that's just my little piece to like, if we have to keep exams for now, just make it more chill. Just chill out on the exams.
I like it, Tom. It's cute.
Yeah, and if I could add another way to make exams more chill, in my school, if I can cite my neurochemistry class again, it's a great class. I have a great teacher. We actually don't really have exams. They're more so like we have like 15-minute quizzes, which are more frequent than exams, but they're a lot smaller. So it's a lot more. It's a much more manageable workload. And we also actually have a chance to retake them. Every single quiz, my teacher makes a second version. And if we don't, if we're not happy with our score in the first one, we can retake it the following week. And then if it's better, that'll completely replace our original score. So it's like kind of having like that insurance policy. It also just lifts up a lot of the stress and the pressure. It's another way.
It's pretty funny that your solution's like, instead of one massive exam, let's do like a thousand like tiny exams. It reminds me of those like, would you rather fight like a T-Rex sized puppy or like 1,000 puppy-sized T-Rexes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A horse-sized duck or 10 duck-sized horses. That's right. Yeah.
Which one's worse? Because, I mean, some people would just be like, you know what, just hit me with a one.
Yeah, exam. True. Like, there's probably someone listening that's like, oh, that's the last thing I want to do is a bunch of pop quizzes.
Yeah, that's right.
Just get it over like, and done.
Please. Because, I mean, I think I was that kind of student, like not a good kind of student, but I was the one who was just like, I could just cruise all through the entire year and like not even listen very much. And then when it's exam time, it's like, all right, game on, boys. Like, let's do this. And I go nuts for like 1 month where like no one sees me. Ace the exam, delete everything from my brain, and I'm like,
yeah,
yes,
it's so silly.
Winning hey. In life, which
it's over finally.
Yeah, that's right.
You have like such a big advantage at school for so long, just like if you have good like short term memory.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, yeah. But then again, that's not even like what you really want to test.
No,
it's like, what's the point of that? It's like, hey, congrats, you scored 100% at short term memory. It's like, well done. You're good at cramming,
and yeah. you're good at doing it like exactly. To what the markers want and to yeah, the rubric,
that's
which
right.
is like
in this artificial silent condition in 2 hours.
Our vacuum,
because that's real life.
Our yeah. syllabus vacuum.
Yeah. yeah, not bad, Tom. That wasn't too bad.
Thanks.
I mean, I don't think SolveBot's going to choose a solution. But
not
you know.
Over Max's.
Yeah, no, not over Max's solution. Yeah, nice, very good.
Mr. Tingman, take it away.
Thank you, class. If everyone can just be quiet for a moment. If you want to take your pens out so you can make some notes, they'll be really great.
Going to be on TikTok.
Yeah, that's right. It's a classic, just like all my students. My solution is not assessment of learning, but assessment for learning.
AFL?
Yeah, AFL. That's actually the acronym that gets used. So, you know, often... Most students don't care what they got wrong on an exam, right? Because, I mean, I was one classic exam. I just want to know what my final result was. Yeah. Like, it's completely irrelevant. And in those cases, the goal isn't learning. Like, the goal is very much like, otherwise I would be interested in what mistakes I got.
Just passing.
Exactly, yeah. yeah. Or like, was that good enough for me to get into XYZ?
Or like, checking the ones you got wrong and like, making sure. You're like, no, yeah. I didn't get that wrong. Did yeah. the teacher mess that up?
Exactly.
Like, oh, no, I did get it wrong.
But that to me is like, getting a cubing lesson with Felix. And imagine if Felix was just like, he watches some of your solves and he's just like, I reckon you're operating at like 60% efficiency. And you're like, oh, cool. Thanks. Bye. And you just leave.
And it's he like, just tells you like that pair was wrong. That pair was wrong.
Yeah.
That cross solution was wrong. And he doesn't tell you why.
If you just walk away, it's like, no, like the point of that lesson was so that you can figure out like, okay, well, tell me what I'm missing. Tell me what's the 40% that I'm lacking. Like you've done your assessment of me. Now tell me like, you know, how I can actually... you know, reach my ceiling of like what I'm age, my potential is going to allow me to do. And I think that's essentially one of the biggest problems with exams. Both students and teachers, I think, are guilty of that. And so my approach, it's not something I invented. This is something that's in the education literature,
yep.
which is why SolveBot's going to choose my thing because it's based on research. Although it's not implemented that widely and it's called assessment for learning. So it's an approach where feedback and like reflection on the student's part, like play a pretty important role. Assessment occurs at every stage of the process and effective feedback from the teacher is used to improve the student performance. So one institution put it this way, AFL involves students becoming more active in their learning and starting to think like a teacher. They think more actively about where they are now, where they are going and how to get there. So the exam, right? It's just like, sit down and complete this right now. But assessment for learning would look more like, okay, guys, let's work on something realistic. So I guess project-based, you know, like what Max suggested before, but a long project in which it's like, okay, I'm going to ask you questions along the way to help you like improve this product. And then the purpose of the assessment is more important than like what it actually is, like the goal that we're heading towards. And I'll assess along the way. I'll give you an example.
What's that look like? Yeah, yeah.
yeah. So when I taught chemistry a few years ago to like grade 10s, I used to give them a pretty fun challenge, which was just to get into small groups and then design a lesson for a grade 2 class. Like they were, you know, really cute about dissolving things in water because it was a pretty good way of like applying what we were learning in class about solubility and stuff like that. It was one of the learning goals. Everyone really enjoyed it because it was like really different. And then after that, unfortunately, they then had to do like a regular chemistry exam because there was a norm and it was easy to like test the students that way. But like, I'm thinking now, what if I turn that activity into an assessment for learning type task? So I think it might look like this. Lesson one, I tell the students the goal and then they start designing the lesson that they want to give to the little kids. Lesson two, they show me draft one of the lesson plan. So maybe it's like they're going to get the little kids to try dissolving salt and sugar and sand in water and like see what happens. And then I go, all right, cool. Salt and sugar are very like visually similar though. So I'm not sure how much you get out of that. And also what are you actually wanting the grade twos to understand? So I just say that. They take that information, they go away, come back lesson three, they show me draft two. Now they've got more items that they want to try and dissolve. And they're also going to like now have a cup maybe with ice in it to test the effect of temperature. And I'm like, oh, very nice, very nice. Although, is there any way that you could challenge the grade two's understanding? Like maybe trick them in some way to like see if they truly understand what solubility means? And also like ice makes it a bit hard because then like, are you dissolving the ice? You know, could there be a better way to do it? Next lesson, they come back with draft three. And now the students have decided that instead of like ice, we're going to do like warm water versus room temperature. Brilliant. Love it. And now they've added jelly crystals as one of the things they want to dissolve because it's like you dissolve the jelly crystals, but now the water is like blue or red. So like, did it truly dissolve? Because you can see the color, but like it actually did dissolve. And it's like, nice. Like you're actually like pushing this and like, you know, you are showing me that you obviously understand solubility because you are designing this in a way like for your grade twos. And then finally, they get to give the lesson to the grade twos. And so not only did they get feedback to know like what they were lacking, but I could also see the choices that they made to improve like the final thing and to show that they understood my original learning goal, which is the principles of solubility or whatever it is. I didn't need an exam because I could see they understood it in a real sense. Assignment is complete. I don't even need to watch that last lesson that they give because I was there throughout the whole journey and I can grade them based on that.
That really is like making them the teachers.
Yeah, I feel like the students becoming the teachers, that's such an effective way for the students to learn because they have to figure out like how they can like articulate, you know, like advanced scientific concepts for a group of second graders. And I think in doing so, that kind of challenges them to kind of understand the material better themselves. So that's, yeah, I love that idea.
Yeah, it does sound similar to probably some of the projects that you saw for your neurochemistry class, I bet. I like that idea. Do you think it fully replaces that? Like, that's obviously assuming that those would be projects, would be like projects, assignments, but the difference in your solution is just that you have like very regular and official feedback where you can like see their whole thinking process.
That's true. Because you could say like, isn't this just an assignment with drafts?
Yeah.
Because like, don't you usually get to have draft feedback from the teacher? And I think maybe in some ways, but the approach is very different from the get-go. Like the whole purpose is actually questioning to improve the product.
Yeah.
And it's almost the process that's more important than like what the final thing actually is. But the thing is that it's really hard to break away from exams because of its ability to rank.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, you know, that's a totally different problem, I guess. But like, if you don't have that exit score, then how do universities and colleges know which students to accept and not to accept? Although they've got their, you know, all their hoops that they require people to jump through as well. I don't know. We just need to solve all of society, really. Like, it's a huge problem. This ranking thing. Why do we have to rank ourselves against each other? It's just not a good way to do life. I mean, can't we just all know that, like, I'm better than you? Like, why do we need a score to show
it? Why do you need a million subscribers just to validate that you can make a YouTube video? Like, when, like, 20,000 would be, like, more than enough to be really great at something.
That's right.
As another week goes on, I have lost 3 times in a row.
Yay! It's the best part of the episode.
One-handed Pyraminx and Scoob, which I find it interesting that you're choosing all these like
main events.
Boring little side
events.
Hey,
shout out to my Scoobers and Pyraminxes and one-handers out there. Today we're going to do the 2x2 because we're starting to run out of events that Tom's better than me. We're conveniently just like not doing like two-handed 3x3 because he does have the edge. An entire season went by and I just couldn't beat him. But Max, have you got a 2x2?
I do. All right. This is my worst and by an I'm honestly really nervous, but I'm going to try
don't
my
be.
Best.
Don't be.
You don't have much competition today. Yeah, you'll be fine.
You do not. Yeah, you have no reason to be nervous. All right, here we go. It's a 2x2 race. Can I beat Tom for the fourth time in a row? 3, 2, 1, go. Oh, mistakes were made. Mistakes were, no. We're good.
Oh my goodness.
You were so close.
That was really bad for me, but still better than this old
guy.
He was
so close. I did not see Max's stuff. He probably finished.
Who won? I couldn't even tell.
Tom won. Yeah. I think Max was done even before I finished.
Probably with the delay of Zoom.
Congrats, Tom.
Thanks. Yeah, feels good to have
the crown returns to its rightful head.
A narrow win for the first time in a while.
What's the scoreboard looking like right now? What's the scoreboard?
We only care about the last few episodes.
It should be like 17 to 3 or something like that.
It is something like that. But we don't count. We're just looking at how many events in total. So Tom has beaten me in 2 events and I've beaten him in 3 events or something like that.
Yeah, right.
That's what we care about. Yeah. Anyway, well done, Tom. It is time now to check in with Solvebot. Solvebot has 3 solutions to choose from today. Who gave the best solution when it comes to the problem of exams? I'm nervous.
Yeah, I'm glad I won the 2x2 race because I know I'm not going to win this. So at least I have like one minor W for today.
Okay. Whew. Well, here we go, Solvebot.
Howdy doody, Solvebot 3000 is back because this town ain't big enough for all these solutions. Max suggests giving students the flexibility to choose how they want to present their understanding, whether through pamphlets, podcasts, or even children's storybooks. This approach encourages creativity and allows students to showcase their understanding in diverse ways, moving away from the traditional pen and paper exam format.
Accurate.
Tom proposes more frequent, smaller tests with lower stakes to alleviate the pressure associated with high-stakes exams while still evaluating students' knowledge and skills. It's a realistic solution that focuses on creating a less stressful assessment environment, although it may not fully address the issue of biased and limited assessment methods inherent in traditional exams. Ming introduces the concept of assessment for learning, in which students receive feedback at various points throughout the learning process and are encouraged to reflect on their progress and the development of their final project or product. This solution emphasizes the continuous and meaningful nature of assessment as an integral part of the learning process rather than a detached evaluation based on a single score. So, who's the winner? It's the solution that best encourages students to most engage with their learning and develop valuable metacognitive skills. And that was Ming's solution, using assessment for learning as a replacement for traditional exams. But I must give a special shout out to Max for his creative idea that provided students with autonomy and opportunities to showcase their understanding. Yeah, thanks for joining us, Max.
ChatGPT has spoken. Yeah,
ChatGPT could be rigged.
Oh, yeah, by OpenAI.
No, that was a good idea, though, to piggyback off of Max's solution. And add extra so that you are guaranteed to win.
I told you, I am good at knowing what the market wants. And the market wants to hear jargon and
this
research.
Whole thing is an exam. This whole show is a... Why do we have we have an exam every episode.
Did the Solvebot listen to our conversation just now and then summarize it that way? Or did you guys give it information beforehand?
Sorry, are you asking me to break the illusion of what Solvebot 3000 does?
I'm just...
Yeah, Solvebot is all-knowing,
Solvebot's
sentient
always
being.
Listening. I cannot divulge trade secrets while on air. Sorry, Max. I'm going to have to redact these statements. Max, she seems to like you, Max. And can I say, we both are big fans of Max Yao as well. So... Yeah. It is our honor to have
I'm big fans of you guys and the podcast. Yeah.
Look, the love goes everywhere.
It's
pretty great.
I will, when you one day get your 3 blind world record, when you beat Charlie Eggins and Tommy, I'll be the first comment on that video, okay?
Ooh, first comment. And what are you going
to
say?
Looking forward
first,
to it.
First. He's going to be first.
First.
I was really first. I was first. A real first. And then I'll comment and be like, no one cares. That's the 2 standard comments on every YouTube video. First and no one
it's
cares.
It's the duality of man. It's first and no one cares.
It's the yin yang. Indeed. Yeah. All the best in everything, Max.
Yeah, good
luck
for
your cubing
exams.
Career, but also in your final year of school. That's so cool. So exciting.
Thanks so much.
Remember that exams and results aren't everything, but still kill it. Get the best result in the state, in all of Seattle.
Appreciate the advice. Yeah.
You're amazing. If you want to follow Max's cubing exploits,
You can find him on YouTube and on Instagram and all the usual places. Yeah.
YouTube and Instagram are the main two.
Yeah, great. We'll link to his socials in the show notes for this episode and in the video description. By the way, thank you again for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Sorry that your solution was inferior to mine, but that's just how it is sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just a solve guy, but so are you. Yeah. We've got 3 more episodes left this season, and we've got some huge bangers that are still coming up, including an episode where we're going to be looking at your solutions on climate change, which will be epic. We've got a special episode coming up with 2 guests in one. Woo! It's going to be something.
End of the season. Yeah, this episode has been a banger as well. Thank you for joining
totally.
Us.
Totally.
Thank you.
And something very surprising in the final episode that we're not totally sure exactly what's going to happen, but I think we've got something good planned.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Stay tuned.
I'm going to listen to all these episodes now. Yeah.
Otherwise, Max knows what to say. I think it's pretty safe for us to say
problem solved.
Yes. I'm the same. Who listens to the last few seconds?